Thank you, worship team. We will continue worshiping our Lord by hiding his word in our hearts. So every week we want to memorize a new verse. So this is the verse from last week when Marcelo did his sermon on Psalm 42. So let's see how well we did. It's a little bit longer, so we'll do our best. But what is the S? Soul, yes. D? Downcast. And the S is? What is it? Why are you? Yes, such turmoil. What's P-Y-H? Put your hope in God, for I will. What's that? Still praise my Savior and my God. Okay, good job. Let's see if we can do it together, starting with a reference. Psalm 42, verse 11. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 42, verse 11. Oh, wonderful. And today's memory verse is from Psalm 91. Let's say it together, starting with the reference. Psalm 91, verse 1. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91, verse 1. Children, you are dismissed. May God's shelter and shadow cover you this morning in little house and baby house. I appreciate all the stories of God's protection this morning. Keep that in mind. One of my favorite movies of all time, and I won't say the name because it's very violent. Okay, it's actually Filipino martial arts is the basis for it, and they have to survive over there. Okay, so so I wouldn't use it as you will, but it is a very powerful movie, and it's about the end of the world. And in the end of the world, no one can find God. But then a man, my man, Denzel Washington, he finds a book, the Bible. And this is what he says. When the end of the world happened, we don't know what happened. The war tore a hole in the sky. The sun came down, burnt everything, everyone. I wandered. I didn't really know what I should do or where I was going. I was just moving from place to place, trying to stay alive. And then one day I heard a voice. I don't know how to explain it, but it was like coming from inside of me. I could hear it as clear as day, clear as I can hear you talking to me now. It told me to carry the book west. It told me a path would be laid out before me, that I'd be led to a place where the book would be safe. It told me I'd be protected against anyone or anything that tried to stand in my way if only I had faith. That was 30 years ago, and I've been walking ever since. If you could put the slide up, Kobe, this is a... Whenever Denzel walks, carrying the book, the Bible, to a safe place, he says this to himself, stay on the path. It's not your concern. Stay on the path. It's not your concern. And you go through the movie, there's like 100 people trying to kill him, okay? And he survives every single time. He felt God's protection over him. In that time when there was all about survival, people trusted in their strength, their power. Even money wasn't important back then. It was water was the most important thing. If you had water, you ruled the world. They trusted in their own violence. And there's a bad guy. He also wants the Bible. Gary Oldman. Wow, he's a great actor. Anyway, he really wants the Bible, but he wants the Bible to control people. Oh, if people have this book, you can tell them whatever they want and they will follow you. He wanted to use God's name for his own desires, his own purposes. And Denzel, though, he had hope. He trusted that God would be his protection, his refuge, and his strength, no matter what happened in his life. And I think we're all looking for protection, strength, and refuge right now, aren't we? There's a lot of uncertainty in the world. There's a war far, far away, but the gas prices go up. It affects us. We're all connected, and we're not sure how things will turn out. So in this time, where do you find refuge? Where do you put your trust to protect you? And if you say you trust in God, in Jesus our Lord, do you expect God to protect you in your time, in your way, even when it may not be God's way? Saying, Lord, I trust you, but I'm gonna keep a lot of money away in this thing over here, just in case. You know, I trust you, be careful for me, but I'm gonna put all my money in the 50-50 Oilers draw. Yes, but Lord, I know you can use that too, right? And you pray about it, but are you trusting in God or your own, as Pastor Richard said a couple weeks, schemes, your own ways of survival? So that's the question we're going to think about today. God's protection in our lives. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm 91. This is one of a very famous psalm about God's protection and strength. And I pray it be a source of peace to you during these hard times. And at this time, if you're online too or in person, we have sermon notes that you can follow along with. That you can have the QR code there. So Psalm 91, hear the word of the Lord. And our memory verse is the first verse, so let's say it together. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and, as we heard today, all those crazy dogs and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Him. I will protect Him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for these beautiful words of who you are and what you want for us. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your grace. But Lord, help us to be careful too, to not think that, oh, we could just kind of go wherever we want and, oh, God will be with us. But help us to know that you are Lord. It's your way, not our way. It's what you will, not what we will. So help us keep these words next to the whole Bible and give us insight by Holy Spirit what you want to say to us today through your word. May you use these small words of mine for your great glory. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. If you have your notes, if you do have questions, you can text the line there. It's a rich psalm, very encouraging, but also a little bit, we should be careful. If you have your notes, you can write this down. The Lord rests his shadow on us, and we cannot stretch it where we wish. Now, Denzel Washington, he stayed on the path that voice, which is God, told him to go, because that is where God was. That's where God was moving. And Denzel moved with him, and he did his best to stay on the path. And when the Lord rests his shadow on us, and where he wants us to go, nothing can touch us. Nothing can harm us apart. Nothing can do anything. Nobody can do anything apart from God allowing it to happen. Pastor Victor mentioned a couple weeks ago about the importance of the image of refuge, this stronghold, this fortress in the Bible. And in this psalm alone, it is mentioned 3 times. And one kind of refuge is God's as a form of shade or a shadow. And especially in the desert conditions, having shade is such a beautiful refuge, isn't it? Wei Lin and the family just got back from Malaysia, and it's usually hot there. I think it wasn't so hot this year. But when it's hot out there, this nice shade and a cold drink is the best refuge you could ever have. I don't want a castle. I don't want a stuffy bunker when it's hot, okay? I want some shade. And what's what's beautiful is, this is the image the Lord uses. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And what's I think really interesting is, even the shadow of God, not even God himself, but just his shadow, is an impenetrable fortress. It's the greatest protection. There's my shadow there. I can't even touch it. If I put my shadow on you, it's not a big deal, right? But when God puts his shadow on you, whoa, wow, nothing can touch you. God's shadow is so powerful. However, the shadow of God's protection is not something that we can use whenever we want for our own desires or wishes. That's what I mean. We can't stretch. Oh, God, I'm gonna go over here for a bit. Can I just borrow your shadow and stretch it? Oh, yeah, thank you. No, that's not how it works. We can't go our own way and expect protection will follow us all the time. The Lord rests his shadow on us, and we cannot stretch it where we wish. So let's go into this text to see what God's telling us today. The first point is, the Lord rests his shadow on where he wants us. Now, what does God want for us? What's beautiful about this psalm is it's very personal. Most times when you hear the word you, he will save you, he will deliver you, many times, especially in the New Testament, it's always in the plural form, like you all. But this particular psalm is all in the singular. this psalm is for you as an individual, as a person. And verse 1 and 2 tells us in a very beautiful form who God is with four different titles of God. This is very, very beautiful. Let's read verse 1 and 2 again. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, he will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of my Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And let me just go through these four names of God to tell us who God is and what he wants for us. So those four titles of God are the Most High. The next one is rest and shout of the Almighty. The third one is he will say of the Lord. And the last one is my God, whom I trust. Now, the first one is Elon, which is Most High. That refers to God is the most, is the highest thing above all else. Isaiah says, his ways are higher than our ways, and that means he knows what's best for us. When you are a child, who knows better, your parents or you? I guess it depends on your parents, but but usually your parents do, and imagine that like 100 times more, okay? When we are human and God's the highest, who knows what's best for us? God does. He knows the best way, as the psalm says, to rescue us, to protect us, to deliver us, to satisfy us, and to save us. And Psalm 91, verse 14 to 16, these words are actually using the image of marriage to describe our relationship with God. It says here, 14 to 16, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. In these verses, God, as the Most High, is promising to be our perfect spouse, to protect us and deliver us. Okay, the second name for God is Shaddai, Almighty. How about, can you say Shaddai? Shaddai, Almighty. And thank you. And that means there's a the Hebrew kind of saying is he is the strongest. He is the most mighty. He is the most powerful entity we can ever imagine. All the things that God says he will do in Psalm 91 is so easy for him to do. He can do it so easily. And he will also punish those who are shooting arrows, stalking people, or ambushing or attacking them. This is nothing for God. Let's look at verse 5 to 8 again. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near to you. You only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. War, which is something that we cannot fix in this world, no matter how hard we try, we can't fix it, is nothing for God. Disease, pandemics, which we can't really figure out in this world, is nothing for God. He is the most powerful. The third one is Lord. Can you say Yahweh? Yahweh to be. This is the most powerful name for God. God is who he is. He will be who he will be. And the best place for us is to be with God himself. God just is. He is not insecure in any way. If you've been in a relationship with someone who's a little bit insecure, you know how it affects your relationship. Maybe they want more attention, so you feel tempted to give more attention, and they want more. Maybe they feel like they don't feel they're good enough, so you always have to affirm them. And the relationship is kind of, it's hard. But with God, He doesn't need anything. He is perfect, and He has all this extra love He just wants to give to us. All we can do is receive it. And what's even more, He wants to be with us. He loves us. Let's read this. Psalm 91, verse 4. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. I grew up on an acreage, and one of my favorite animals is actually the pecan white geese. Goose. Well, they're the most vicious animal I've ever seen. And especially when they got eggs or they got their babies under their wings. What do they call the Canadian geese these days? The cobra thing? Cobra chickens. It's true. They got that snake. And it's scary. Like, you don't mess with those geese. And the same way, God is like this mother hen protecting us, caring for us. Okay, last one. God, can you say Eloah? The most common was Elohim. Can you say Elohim? That's the plural form, but here it's the singular, Eloah. And the rabbis say this word means the creator, sustainer, provider of all life on earth. And not only can God protect us from all these dangers, He is sovereign over all potential dangers on earth. He knows when things are going to happen before they even think about happening. He knows how to handle every situation. So even before the pestilence comes, He knows already. He knows all the workings on the world and can orchestrate in a way in which we are protected. Let's look at verse 3. Says, surely He will save you from the fowler's snare. Somebody come and try to hunt you and ambush you. He knows when that guy's coming. And from the deadly pestilence. He knows when the next pandemic is coming, and He's not worried about it. And verse 13, you will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Any animal or beast, spiritual or physical, the Lord already knows it. The good news is the Lord rests His shadow on us. Where He wants to go, and He knows what's best for us. And let's not go to the second point, but we cannot stretch it to where we wish. Is what God wants for us the same as what we want? Do we want to follow God's way or our way? My man Denzel, he was protected because he went exactly where God wanted him to go. Are we doing the same? Now, if you look at this chapter, this is a little bit technical, sorry, but there are 28 imperfect verbs here. Now, I'm not a big grammar guy, so don't worry about it. Hebrew grammar is different than English grammar, okay? So don't worry about it if you don't know. Imperfect verbs basically mean that they are continuous and need to occur. It's not just a one-time thing, but they continually need to happen. And when you look at this chapter, when he talks about the imperfect verbs, they're mostly related to what humans are called to do in relation to God, what we are supposed to do. So if you look at this verse 1 again, our memory verse, it says here, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, and the actual literal translation is, whoever keeps dwelling, whoever continues dwelling, whoever keeps on knocking on that door and keeps on going into the house of God, then he will rest in the shadow of the Most High. And then verse 9, it says, if you say the Lord is my refuge, and it should say, well, if you keep saying, if you continually keep doing this, then, and if you keep making the Most High your dwelling, that's what an imperfect verb means. Now, the Lord is not saying wherever you go, oh, yeah, I'll just be with you, but rather, keep following my path. Keep dwelling in me and my way and what I have for you. Keep following me. However, and sometimes uses this, people use a psalm to say, oh yeah, God will protect you no matter what. But even in the psalm, the path that God leads us is not always safe. Let's look back at Psalm 91, 5 to 8 again. It says here, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. It does not say that God will keep you away from the terror of night. He does not say that God will take away the arrow that flies by day. No. It says, you will not fear when the terror of night is near you. Also, you will not fear when the arrow comes by or disease comes upon you. And I really, it's kind of an interesting thought here. There's night, there's the day, there's the darkness, and there's midday. So every part of the day, something could get you. That's the reality. And every part of the day, something will happen to you. But in God, because of His protection, we don't have to fear. If God is leading us even into the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear, for He is with us. And the problem is, it's hard not to fear when the world seems to be descending into chaos. When that chaos is affecting our lives here, we're not sure about paying our bills, putting food on the table. We're not sure about our health. We're not sure about our loved ones, their well-being. It's hard not to fear. But do all these imperfect verbs, like you have to keep dwelling, does that mean it's up to us to stay in God's shadow? No, I don't think so. Because if you look at, there are all these 28 imperfect verbs, and then there are 3 perfect verbs. And that means, perfect means it is complete. It is done. It is set in stone. And those verbs are actually relate to the covenant between God and Israel. And those are the same verse I said. Remember I said there was these verses relate to marriage? Those are where the perfect verbs are. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I'll protect him, for he acknowledges my name. With long life, I'll satisfy him and show my salvation. The perfect verbs are be with, know, and call. And the verbs know or be with are actually translated to cleave, to put together. They're used for marriage. And in the midst of this psalm, God promises to be our perfect spouse, even when we're not perfect. Because if you look at Israel's track record with his covenant with God, and that's a big word, which kind of looks like it's like a marriage covenant, this promise that we'll be together, and we have two sides of the agreement. If you keep your part, we're good, and I'll keep my part, we'll be in good relationship. However, Israel kept failing. As pestilence and trouble, the pestilence and trouble by the psalm is a physical nature, but also can be understood as a spiritual reality. The most obvious one is the terror of the night, or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. we are not able to follow and fulfill God's covenant completely because there's a spiritual darkness, a spiritual petulance that not only attacks our body, but finds its way in our soul. And when fear comes, it's very hard for us to keep our end of God's covenant. Instead of trusting in the refuge and strength of God, in fear, we go our own way. We try to seek refuge in other places other than God. And actually, in the book of Daniel, another book in the Bible, when people find idols, and that's anything that kind of takes the place of God, they would call their idols in Babylon Mazuzim, which translates their most stronghold, our stronghold. Like, oh wow, money's really tight now. I gotta find a new stronghold. Doesn't seem like coming through. Let's go and find something different. Let's go to that 50-50 lottery ticket. Or let's go and I don't even know what people do to make money these days. Steal stuff, I guess. Or let's work on Sundays. Even after I've missed church, God will understand. It's okay. I need to make money. Or let's get extra shift. Let's not go to house church. I have to find a stronghold. We have to survive. And rather than trusting God as our stronghold, we trust in Mazuzim. What a weird name. I don't even like that name. Their stronghold. Knowing that we would not seek refuge in God because of what the Bible calls sin, where we turn away from God, we seek other things other than God Himself. God rested His shadow on His Son Jesus for our sake. Jesus came to bring a new covenant and did what we could not. Now let's go to Jesus now, and let's go to Matthew 23, verse 37. It says here, this is Jesus speaking, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stole those sent to you." God tried to send them people to tell them this is the way you should go, but the people didn't understand, even though they thought they were following God. "How often have I longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Now, does that sound familiar? What Jesus is saying is the God spoken in Psalm 91, the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord and Elohim is me. I am the one continuing calling you to become under my wings. Yet, you don't. Remember when I was a kid, that whenever you ever see little chicks go under the mom's wings, it's very cute, I have to say. But there's always one or two that are like, "Oh, I don't want mom today. No, 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 I want to go my own way." You know what happens to them? A magpie comes down and poo! In one gulp. That's why I hate magpies. They're the greatest pestilence of all, but they can hear it. So don't. They can remember your face. So just be careful. I don't tell it to their face anyway. But in the same way, without God's presence, we will be destroyed. Jesus and God always keeps His covenant with us, even when we fail. And as God, Jesus does too. But also, Jesus came as a human being, and you know what? He keeps our side of the covenant. Let's go to one of the favorite verses in Luke chapter 4. And then I want to look at first one. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. This is when he was baptized. The most powerful moment in Jesus' life. God's voice shines. There's like a light rays come down and strobe lights or whatever. And then immediately, He returned from Endor and was led by the Spirit, not to a party, not to a nice place, but to the desert, where there's lions and cobras and pestilence. And for 40 days he was tempted. He ate nothing during those days. And at the end of the day, he was hungry. And then, if we go to verse 9, it says here, the devil led him to Jerusalem. And at the time, the devil tempted Jesus. He wanted Jesus to go away from God's way. And he put him on the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels to guard you carefully. Interesting. Now, I grew up in a tradition where they believed that if you had enough faith, you could stretch God's shadow over you to kind of do whatever you wanted. One of my friends, he said, oh, you know what? I drive, I pray, and close my eyes. I'm not even joking, okay? This is real. And he said, yeah, he would close his eyes, and God would just guide him driving. Okay, I don't know about that anyway. But they believed, if you had enough faith, you could do whatever you want, and God will, if you were right with God, he would make sure you never, ever get hurt even once. If you threw yourself off of the Epcot Tower, God would 100% send his angels to protect you. But Jesus declines to do that. If you look at the verse next to that, it says here, Jesus says in verse 9, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, you can write this in your notes. Jesus embodies a resting, not a testing attitude. Those who dwell in the shadow of the Most High will rest in the Lord. Now, there is a test. There is a couple words in the Hebrew. We won't get too much now, but there is two types of words in the Bible for testing. There's a testing that seeks to understand how far God's goodness will go. And Malachi said, test me. See how much, if you give to me, all your tithes, see how much I will bless you. Like, this is nothing to me. Test how good I am. But there's a testing that seeks to know whether God is good at all. One tests God because of their faith in him. The other tests God because of their lack of faith. They want to see, oh, can you really do it? Do you really care? And rather than resting on God, we test God because of our lack of faith. We want to prove that he is the Lord Almighty. He will do what we want. If God is really good, if God was really good, then he would heal me. He would fill my bank account. He would give me a job. Then I'll believe it. Then I'll think you are worthy to be worshipped. Then I'll call you Lord and Almighty. But we really don't want God. We want his protection and provision. We test God's goodness because we are resting in what we want from him. Not in God himself, but Jesus rested on the Father himself. He did not believe or rest or trust in God because of what God could give him. He rested in God for who he was because he was in a loving relationship with God himself. We know this because even after 40 days of wilderness, Jesus did not stray from the path of God. Even when it was hard. And he did not even fear when he was called to the greatest suffering of all, dying on the cross. Luke chapter 29, 39 to 44. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he basically says he was crying to God on the way to the cross, Lord, if it be your will, take this cup from me. It was hard. Lord, if there's another way, there's another path, let me go that way. But there was no other path. And Jesus did what we could not. He fulfilled our covenant side with God as a human. And now, because of Jesus' death on the cross, he has won the victory over all the threats and evils in this world. And he won it not by glory, but for lament and suffering, which became his greatest glory. The greatest threat, evil and pestilence, is sin and death. Sin is that thing that makes us unable to trust in God, and death is the thing that separates us from God. And Jesus was covered in darkness and suffering in order to defeat sin and death. And even death could not hold him. And now the shadow of the resurrected Jesus rests on us because of his grace. Christ is our refuge. Colossians 3:3 says this, "For you died," and this is a picture of baptism, where we died to Christ, and then we raise up again with him. And when we, by grace, are saved and accepted by faith, our lives are now hidden into the life of Christ. He is literally our refuge. We're not even in his shadow anymore. We're in his, I don't even know, his inner chest cavity or something. We're inside there and nothing can get us. And not even the judgment. When God looks at us, he does not see our sin and weaknesses, wickedness. He sees the life of Jesus, who hides us in himself and who cleanses us from sin. Also, the Holy Spirit is transforming us more and more to become like Jesus. We can trust in God, our refuge, more and more. Pastor Victor mentioned about refuges. It consistently expresses a conscious and active movement toward God as refuge for protection, deliverance, and hope. The action is never passive, but it's always deliberate, a choice of faith and trust in the face of fear, threats, guilt, or uncertainty. Because of Jesus, we can live up to those imperfect verbs. We can continually, by the Holy Spirit, stay in the life and presence of Christ. The Lord rests his shadow on us, and we cannot stretch it where we wish. So let's just do two applications. Who do you trust as your refuge? Do you trust in God Almighty? Or do you look to something else? Mazuzim, money, or as Laura mentioned, our cell phones. I could ask yourself, where do you find security and strength and comfort? And I encourage you, if you have not accepted Jesus as your refuge, if you've not experienced his shade and shadow and protection, call on him today. And the second one is, do you have a resting attitude or a testing attitude to God and Jesus? Do you follow God for God's sake, or are you following God to get something from him? Do you stretch God's shadow? Like, I want to go here, God, only to be disappointed when things don't go as you think they should, where God didn't protect you in the way you thought he should have. Are you resting in him and his way, or are you trying to test God? Is your faith in him, or is your faith shaken? Come to him. He loves you, and he wants you to rest in him. To end, I'm just going to quickly say what's very interesting about the movie that I mentioned earlier is, you know, he said, I want to stay in the path of no problem. I want to stay in the path, not my concern. All of a sudden, he meets this friend on the path, and things get messy because he thought he was going to do it alone, but he befriends somebody. And at one point in the movie, he has to choose between the book, the Bible, or saving the life of his friend. What is God's will? What's God's path? And guess what he does? Yes, he saves the friend. And he says this, the friend says, I didn't think you'd ever give up the book. I thought it was too important to you. And Denzel says, it was. I was carrying it and reading it every day. Got so caught up in protecting it, I forgot to live by what I'd learned from it. And what's that? To do more for others than you do for yourself. In that moment, Denzel had a predicament. Will I trust that God will complete my mission even if I don't have the book? Will I trust that God's path is not maybe what I expect, that I am called to love this friend even when it seems impossible, even if it seems everything will go wrong? And in the end, God did prevail, but you'll have to watch the movie for that. Okay. Let's pray. Well, if you want. It's a little violent, I said. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your protection, for your strength. Lord, you are the Most High God. You are the Lord. I am that I am. You are the Creator. You are the Almighty. And in you, there's nothing that can touch us apart from your will. And thank you, Lord, that with all these rich promises, you are even with us when the terror is near, when darkness is near, when death is near. You were with Jesus as he went to the cross. You were with him, even as the Creed says, he descended into hell, and you were with him in his resurrection. So help us, Lord, to get rid of all these idols, all these other things that we find and seek refuge in, and trust you alone, and guide us on your path. Help us to discern where you want to go, not where we wish to go, trusting that you'll be with us no matter what. We pray this in your strong name of Jesus. Amen.